Germany for When Breaking Counts.
A very good afternoon and you're welcome to Thursday's Drive Time. The Mahon Tribunal has published its fifth and final report. The tribunal, formerly known as Flood, was established way back in 1997 to inquire into corruption in the planning process. That inquiry led the tribunal down many avenues. For this report, running to over 3,000 pages, it heard evidence from 427 witnesses over 589 public sitting days. At the end of all that, the three judges, Alan Mahon, Mary Flaherty and Gerald Keyes, made findings of corruption against a number of individuals, including the former Fianna Fáil Minister and EU Commissioner Pádraig Flynn and Cork developer Eoin O'Callaghan. It didn't believe Bertie Ahern's account of how he amassed £215,000 or how a group of friends gathered for a dig out. But the tribunal failed to establish the source of the money lodged to his accounts and could not make a corrupt finding against him. The tribunal also launches a broadside against ministers in Mr. Ahern's government who challenged the tribunal's objectivity and integrity. It was done, they say, to erode its independence and collapse the inquiry into Mr. Ahern. We're going to spend a good deal of today's programme telling you what's in this massive report. We'll analyse these findings and we'll ask what happens from here. We'll also get some political reaction. First today, Fergal Keane and Brian Dowling take us through what the report establishes and what it finds. Fergal, you have a small rainforest in front of you there. The tribunal was set up amid allegations of corruption in the planning process in Dublin. Now, to start, there are some damning conclusions about political corruption in Irish life.
And it's worth putting that in perspective before we get into the detail, because they say that the tribunal was established to inquire into concerns regarding corruption in the planning process. And today they find that those concerns were well-founded and that corruption in Irish political life was both endemic and systemic. It affected, they say, every level of government, from ministers to councillors. It was widely known about and tolerated, and those involved, they say, believed themselves to be immune from discovery and that they were in fact invincible. Now, it says that there was little appetite on the part of the state's political or investigative authorities, meaning the Gardaí, to take the steps necessary to tackle those involved in the corruption. They say corruption was deep-rooted. It was endemic on Dublin County Council, where for some councillors it was a regular aspect of their public role. And it says those councillors exercised their public power in their own interests and bartered power in exchange for cash. There was no shortage of persons, they said, prepared to pay for the corrupt exercise of power. Now, they found today against a former Taoiseach, Bertie Ahern, a government minister, Pádraig Flynn, several councillors, a TD. And today's report finds also that there was a large conspiracy involving up to 14 people to hide secret payments to Bertie Ahern, that Frank Dunlop handed out literally hundreds of thousands of pounds in bribes, and that there was a conspiracy of silence among councillors. It also says that the Gardaí, when called on, didn't investigate allegations properly because probably because those involved were politicians. And you have to add this list of shame to earlier findings against Ray Burke, one of Dublin's highest officials, George Redmond, and again that corrupter Frank Dunlop. A list of shame if ever there was one.
Now, in a moment we're going to get to Bertie Ahern's finances and how in fact the tribunal went down that avenue among many
places at Addergool Bridge. Those works continue until Thursday, the 5th of April. Elaine O'Sullivan, AA Roadwatch.
Elaine, thank you. 8 minutes past 5 o'clock. You might imagine that Bertie Ahern is taking solace this evening from the Mahon Tribunal not making a finding of corruption against him. But in so many other respects, the final report of the Planning Tribunal will have made uncomfortable reading for the former Taoiseach. Philip Boucher-Hayes has been poring through the sections relating to his finances and the Tribunal's rejection of much of his evidence.
I look forward to comprehensively dealing with these matters at the tribunal and robustly refuting any imputation against me.
But it is the tribunal that has comprehensively rejected Mr. Ahern's evidence. On 24 separate occasions in the report, they find what he told them to be either untrue, a failure to account truthfully, or evidence that they reject. What we are left with, after all of that, is several unexplained, very large often foreign currency lodgements to Bertie Ahern's accounts, the first of which Bertie claimed was a dig out.
It were people who were well known to be very close with me.
It was for £22,500, but the tribunal rejects Ahern's evidence and the evidence of those who supposedly donated the money. The tribunal says that Ahern did not receive, quote, any such sum either as a gift or as a loan. So what was it for? Where did it come from? Well, again, quoting the report, because the tribunal was not provided with a truthful account, it was unable to determine the original source of the funds.
They were all friends. I was beholden to none of them or them to me.
So where did Bertie Ahern get £22,500 from? Then there was his impressive savings.
So save money during that period, and I'd saved quite a substantial amount of money because it was from the time I was Lord Mayor in 86, I'd saved at the order of £50,000.
The tribunal rejected Mr. Ahern's evidence that he had saved £54,000. So where did that come from? And there was more, even though he told the public at the time that there was no more.
Is that the extent of the payments?
That's the extent of the payments, Ryan. Just for, I just want to say, make another few points.
Just to be clear, there were no subsequent payments in connection with these matters of separation or anything else in the period?
No.
Since then?
No.
But there was. £30,000 in April of 1994 and £20,000 4 months later in August. But in the tribunal's words, because Mr. Ahern failed to disclose the true source of these lodgements to the tribunal was unable to determine the source of these funds. 2 months later, there's the lodgement of £25,000 sterling, but Mr. Ahern claimed that it was another dig-out.
They were not businessmen, they were friends.
Again, a disparate and unlikely group of friends had passed the hat to come up with £16,500 for the then Minister for Finance.
My friends have been described as businessmen, impression that they're captains of industry.
But the tribunal rejected the evidence of Bertie and his benefactors. Perhaps because Mr. Ahern asked the tribunal to believe that this £16,500, added to a whip around after a dinner in Manchester, coincidentally came to £25,000 sterling. Right on the nose.
I did a function in Manchester with a business organisation. It had nothing really to do with politics, whatever.
Initially, he was consistent on how much he got in Manchester.
I got 8,000 on that.
Publicly, he was at pains to remind us of that.
So, could you clarify? Was it 8,000 what? Sterling,
eight,
euro?
Eight sterling.
But
eight sterling.
Sterling.
No, hold on. Eight sterling.
Privately, that was what he told the tribunal too.
How much sterling was there? Do you know? What format?
It was large notes, as far as I can recall. It was 8,000 sterling.
But that evidence then changed to being, well, £8,000, give or take a little bit, when bank records unmistakably showed £25,000 sterling was lodged that day.
Doesn't it follow from that that no sterling sum added to £16,500 can give you the lodge?
Well, I will, but I'll do it in the Mahon Tribunal.
Taoiseach, you said yesterday was a stamp duty issue. What does that mean?
I'll give it when the Mahon Tribunal meets.
Why can't you tell us now?
Philip Boucher-Hayes reporting there. Now, during its work, the Mahon Tribunal received a report from Des Pilo, that's Bertie Ahern's accountant. In it, Des Pilo named six people who gave Bertie Ahern contributions of €2,500 or pounds at that time in December 1993 to help him with legal bills. One of the six was publican Charlie Chalk. In his evidence to the tribunal, Charlie Chalk confirmed having given money to Bertie Ahern. But the Mahon report does not accept the evidence as true. It does not accept that Charlie Chalk and others answered a request to contribute to a collection for Bertie Ahern, nor does it accept that he and others contributed money to Bertie Ahern as they had claimed. Just before we came on air, Charlie Chalk gave me his reaction to the report's findings.
Well, all I can say to Justice Mahon is that he's incorrect. I gave £2,500 to Bertie Ahern through Des Richardson and Jerry Brennan in my pub in the Goat in Goatstown. And I outlined this to Justice at the tribunal. And I think if he's calling me a liar, I don't know whether he is or not, but if he is calling me a liar, I'll have to disagree with him. He is wrong.
The tribunal, I think, applies a degree of logic to... to...
because it is very critical. The Fianna Fáil party is at a crossroads. We're engaged in a renewal process. And I can tell you, as a new frontbench member, I am most concerned about what I'm reading and about what I'm hearing all day, as indeed are the grassroots members who supported and joined Fianna Fáil for all the good of encouraging and being involved in politics in their local communities. Mm. Those people are uppermost in my mind, and I want to do right by them.
All right. Well, you are at a crossroads. There's no doubt about that.
Absolutely.
We were talking about the historic position in relation to Bertie Ahern and Pádraig Flynn and Albert Reynolds. There is also a much more recent position, which is outlined in the report in a section entitled Integrity and Independence of the Tribunal. Judge Mahon says his work was savagely attacked and undermined by ministers who were serving in Bertie Ahern's administration of the day. We're talking about post the 2007 election.
Absolutely. And there was mention, as I understand, in the introduction to the report in relation to that. And those are very, very serious issues which will be discussed later on also.
Some members of that 2007 administration are still serving frontbench spokespeople in Fianna Fáil. They include your leader.
Absolutely. And Micheál Martin has made himself absolutely available to the media through a statement which will be issued later on this evening, and at a full engagement with the media, which he will answer all questions publicly in relation to that tomorrow, Mary. So that is the position basically as we stand right now.
And that's as far as you're going to go at this stage?
Absolutely. That's as much as I can give you in relation to the Fianna Fáil position at the moment. We are considering it. It's very voluminous, as I say. 600 witnesses.
Well, back to the Mahon Tribunal report, finally published today. And in the hours after the huge tome emerged, Brian Lally asked afternoon strollers in Dublin's Henry Street if they had a reaction.
Today's report now hasn't quite put Bertie in the same category as others, but it alludes to the fact that he wasn't quite truthful, and I think we all know what that means.
Do you think it was all a dreadful waste of time and money?
Ultimately it was. I think the idea probably is good, but I mean the length of time that it takes, well, they say the devil is in the detail. I think there's no reason for it to go on 15 years and to cost the economy as much as it has cost.
I always had great admiration for Bertie Ahern, but my opinions have changed, and I'll wait to see what they say.
Is your ardour for Bertie dimming?
Bad news for the town.
What he done was wrong, it was illegitimate, it was dishonest, and I think what the country needs now more than ever is people to be honest and forthright and upright, people with integrity.
I was absolutely shocked, I couldn't believe it, but I think it's high time that people would stand up and speak up, because it's crazy what is going on.
The view there from Castlebar, as told to Eileen Magner earlier. Fergal Keane is back with me. Fergal, you have been reading further through the rainforest you have there with you, and you want to deal with what the report says in relation to councillors in Dublin and corruption.
Yeah, because in the start of the report, it says that there were some councillors exercised their public powers in their own interests and bartered power in exchange for cash. And I looked through the report and I've come up with 43... different individual helping you get to grips with the road, whatever the weather.
You're very welcome back to Drive Time. I'm joined by Colm McCaughey, Senior Counsel, along with Michael Smith back in 1995. They offered a reward of £10,000 for information leading to convictions for corruption in the planning system in Dublin. Now, this became the catalyst for the setting up of the tribunal. Colm McCaughey, how do you feel today?
A bit underwhelmed, really. The report is daunting. I'm disappointed by the recommendations it makes in respect to the planning system. I'm trying to get my head around what it says about reform of the political system, politics and money. But of this there can be no doubt that the detailed and carefully written report finds that there was deep-rooted and systemic corruption in Irish political life. And that is a very important finding. The detail then has been discussed all day, but there can be no doubt that based upon the very limited evidence available to Judge Mahon and his colleagues and Judge Flood, they have been able to say that there was deep-rooted and systemic corruption in Irish political life.
Fergal Keane quoted from that earlier and the systemic nature of it. The tribunal finds for some councillors on Dublin City Council, corruption was a regular aspect of life. Councillors exercised public powers in their own interests and they bartered power in exchange for cash or benefits. It is quite a damning indictment on our political system.
That's right. And the tribunal goes on to say that effectively the dogs in the street knew about it. Everybody knew. I mean, that's why, in effect, we put the ad in the newspaper, because we knew.
And people were threatened over it.
Yes, they were threatened over it. And if you spoke about it, you were laughed at and poo-pooed. I think Joan Burton, for example, has stories to tell about receiving writs and Esna Fitzgerald receiving writs because they had the courage to speak up. And we know that the Green Party's Trevor Sargent spoke up and was jostled and threatened, and that's recorded in this report. Allegations were made against anybody who tried to open this can and shine a light in.
That was then. This is now. 2012.
Trying to cash his check. It's just nonsense. Mm. I mean, the sense of outrage will grow, I think, and I don't know, is there a case to be made anymore for people in public life who have suffered adverse findings in this report to continue receiving state pensions? Their trust is, the breach of trust is enormous, deeply wounding to the body politic, damages democracy, undermines the state, is an act of quasi-terrorism, it's treasonous. It's treachery incarnate. And I don't think that these people should continue receiving state pensions.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, Colm. I didn't mean to cut you off there. I want to go before the programme ends to hear from Eoin O'Callaghan, because we can do that now. The Mahon Tribunal, just to put this in context, they rejected the evidence of Eoin O'Callaghan on a number of matters it found. He paid out almost £2 million to lobbyist Frank Dunlop over a 10-year period. It also found the relationship between Eoin O'Callaghan, the late Liam Lawler, and Frank Dunlop was firmly based in corruption. This evening, Eoin O'Callaghan rejected these findings. He said he's going to seek a judicial review of the tribunal report. He was speaking to our Southern editor, Pascal Sheehy.
I'm quite disappointed that the tribunal has come up with an inconclusive decision on the money that I've been alleged to give to Bertie Ahern. This allegation has been hanging over my head now for more than 10 years. And I thought that, or I assumed that the tribunal would come to some conclusion. Because before anybody ever went into the witness box, some 4 years ago, written proof was given to the tribunal that I never gave any money to Bertie Ahern.
But it says the reason why it's inconclusive is because Bertie Ahern's evidence to the tribunal was untrue. It didn't accept his evidence.
Well, I can't speak for the Bertie Ahern side of it, of course, but what I can say is that I never gave a cent to Bertie Ahern.
Is that still your position, though, that you never gave £80,000 to Bertie Ahern, as alleged by Tom Gilmartin, to block tax designation for the rival Blanchardstown shopping centre?
Absolutely true. I never gave Bertie Ahern a cent.
No £80,000?
Not at all. Not at all. In fact, the reality is, I hardly know Bertie Ahern. The reasons for it are completely wrong. But to answer your question, yes, I gave that amount of money to Frank Dunlop over a 10-year period. And it sounds a lot of money. But what he did for that was as follows. I did not have an office in Dublin. I still do not have an office in Dublin. So at the time, I used Frank Dunlop's office and his staff, at the time, three people, his car, his telephones, the whole lot. Remember, this was 91, 2, 3, 4, 91, 1990 to 1999, I think.
But it's a staggering amount of money for that period of time. Even if you say it's over 10 years, it's £180,000 a year.
OK. It would cost approximately £50,000 to rent an office. It would cost probably as much to staff an office with three people in it. And then I'd have to employ a PR person to introduce me to the various 78 councillors in Dublin, because I didn't know any one of them, actually.
But couldn't you just ring them up?
Oh, no, they wouldn't talk to you. You've got to be introduced. That's not any good. That doesn't happen.
But you're Rowan O'Callaghan, you're one of the most prominent property developers in the country, even in the early 1990s.
Not at all. Not at all. You have to be introduced by somebody who knows them. That's the way the system works. You've got to be introduced by somebody who knows them and somebody who can bring you along to meet them, and then you explain your case to them.
And do you reject any charge of corruption?
I reject it, of course. From my point of view, there was no corruption.
And the payments to the politicians, how do you explain them?
I did not give any money to any politician to vote for Quarryville. And I did not give any money to a third party to give to politicians to vote for Quarryville.
And if that third party, Frank Dunlop, did that, what do you say about that?